is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish Home Machine, which is perfect for these crazy times when gyms and schools are closed. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Coach Jay Smith from the University of Michigan, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years, and now with its integrated web platform, coaches have the ability to add video to plays and share them directly to their players' Android and iPhones via their mobile app. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. In addition to a great product, they also provide basketball coaching content and resources through their blog and PlayBank. For access to these plays and more information, visit FastModelSports.com or follow them on Twitter at FastModel.
This episode is brought to you by the Ready State Virtual Mobility Coach. Dr. Starrett is a movement and mobility coach for players in the NFL, MLB, NHL, and NBA, plus a doctor of physical therapy. Kelly has created a program called Virtual Mobility Coach. Every day, Virtual Mobility Coach gives you guided mobility videos. It walks you step by step through Kelly's proven techniques to relieve pain, improve range of motion, and improve performance. Try it completely free for 2 weeks, and if you decide to continue, you can get 10% off for life using promo code HOOPHEADS10. Visit thereadystate.com/hoopheads and use code HOOPHEADS10 at checkout. Again, that's thereadystate.com/hoopheads and use code HOOPHEADS10 when you sign up to get 10% off for the life of your membership after your 14-day free trial ends.
So many people would change places with us in a heartbeat. So respect the game, respect the people that are coaching you, but above all, respect those kids that you are teammates with and be the best teammate you can be.
Fran Dunphy completed his 13th and final season at the helm of the Temple men's basketball program in 2019. The all-time winningest coach in Philadelphia Big Five history, Dunphy was one of 25 active NCAA Division I coaches with 500 victories in his final season, and is also just the fifth coach to win 200 games at two different Division I programs while also taking both schools to seven or more NCAA tournaments. A part of Big Five basketball for the last six decades, Dunphy was inducted into the Big Five Hall of Fame in April of 2019. Dunphy starred as a player at LaSalle from 1967 to 1970, and served on the Explorer staff as an assistant coach before embarking on a 17-year stint as the head coach of the Penn Quakers. He became the first person to serve as the head men's basketball coach at two Philadelphia Big Five institutions when he took over the reins of the Temple program from Hall of Fame coach John Chaney on April 10, 2006. His overall record stands at 580-325, which includes 18 20-win seasons, 17 NCAA tournament appearances, 14 conference championships, 8 Big Five titles, and 1 NIT trip. We recently launched the Hoopheads Mentorship Program. We believe that having a mentor is the best way to maximize your potential and become a transformational coach. By matching you up with one of our experienced mentors, you'll develop a one-on-one relationship that will help your coaching, your team, your program, and your mindset. The Hoopheads Mentorship Program delivers mentoring services to basketball coaches at all levels through our team of experienced head coaches. Find out more at hoopheadspod.com or shoot me an email directly, mike@hoopheadspod.com. Our roster of shows is growing, so don't forget to check out all our other podcasts on the Hoopheads Pod Network, including Thrive with Trevor Huffman, Beyond the Ball, the CoachMaze.com podcast, Players Court, Bleachers and Boards, The Green Light, and our team-focused NBA pods, Cavaliers Central, Knuck If You Buck, 305 Culture, Blazing the Path, Hashtag Lakers, Motor City Hoops, X's and O's NBA Breakdown, Spanning the Spurs, LA Hoops, The Wizards Hoops Analyst, and At the Buzzer. We're looking for more NBA podcasters interested in hosting their own show centered on a particular team. Email us info@hoopheadspod.com if you're interested in learning more and bringing your talent to our network. Be ready to take some notes as you listen to this episode with Philadelphia Big Five coaching legend, Fran Dunphy. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads Podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And tonight we are honored to be joined by longtime college basketball coach, current athletic director at Temple University, Fran Dunphy. Coach, welcome to the Hoopheads Podcast.
Thanks, Mike. Happy to be here. I know you talked to a couple of my former guys and sold me out and made me Jason, and happy to do it.
Hey, you came very, 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 very highly recommended by the two of them. They both insisted that we reach out to you and have you come on and share some of the knowledge that you've obviously been able to share with them and many others through the course of your career. When I look back at some of the podcasts that we've done, and it's amazing some of the tentacles that you've been able to sort of extend out into the coaching world and the people that you've been able to have an impact on. I think that's one of the things that, as a coach, if you can have that kind of impact on your fellow coaches and on the players that you've coached, that's really what it's all about. And I wanted to start out tonight by asking you a question just reflective of your entire career, thinking about things that you've learned during your many, many years on the bench that could apply in any situation. What are things just about coaching that you feel can apply to any situation? So whether I'm a first-year coach of a seventh-grade basketball team or I'm a Division I head coach, what are some things that universally apply to coaching basketball?
Well, I think a couple of things. One might be that whatever you're doing, whether it's coaching or any other profession you choose to go into, or at what level you're doing it at, whether it's, as you just suggested, at the elementary school level or at the college level or even in the pros, I think you have to be yourself. You have to be really genuine. You can't make up things that you think are important to others. People will see through you all the time that way. And I think that the genuine people get the most out of others. And I think that's critical. The other part that I think is really important is without those kids that you're coaching or the students that you're teaching, there's really no need for you. So they're the most important product in all of this. Without them, you're not going to be teaching anything or coaching anything. So it's all about the kids at this point. And it should be that way, whatever the level you are at and whatever time in your career it is, whether it's you're first starting out and you have a boatload of insecurities, or you've coached a lifetime and you feel like you're pretty secure with who you are. It's always about the kids that you were teaching or coaching.
Is that something that you realized right away when you went into coaching, or was that something that you slowly learned over time as you became more experienced? Did you realize right away that, hey, this has to be about the players? Or at first, like many coaches, because you come off a playing career, because a lot of times when we're younger, we think we know a lot more than we actually do. How would you describe you coming to that realization? Was that something that you knew right from the get-go, or was that something that you learned over the course of your career?
Yeah, I would never give myself that much credit for being that wise when you're young. It just doesn't work that way. I mean, you start to, again, you're insecure when you are younger. You think that, you're going to conquer the world. You're going to win every year. And the reality sets in, and, you find yourself having your best years coaching when you have the best players. Funny how that works. Yeah. And the other part to it that I think is important, that the older you get, the more ownership you start to give. And that as a head coach, you start to give it to your assistant coaches a little bit more every year, because now you realize that you can't do it all by yourself. There's really no fun in doing it all by yourself. And you want to give opportunities for those assistant coaches who are working very hard. So giving ownership starts to be really important. And then when you really get your act together, you start to give ownership to the best players and the leaders on your team. Because in my mind, when the leadership comes from within the group, then you are much better served. You're a much better coach. And the reality is it doesn't matter who's responsible in terms of getting the credit. It's more important that we all come together and put the best coaching out there that we can. And sometimes the kids can coach their fellow teammates. And that's really important. And you get to counsel them as to their teammateship. When they get to be really good teammates, then their team's got a chance to be really good.
So what does that look like when you are delegating to assistants and to players? Because it's easy to say, okay, you take this, or player X, I want you to be a better leader. You hear that from coaches all the time, that you want to have a player-led team. But I think oftentimes, as coaches, we leave our players hanging in that we say that, and we say we want them to be leaders, but then we don't necessarily teach them or model for them what that looks like.
Hey, hoopheads, we all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com, spelled A-R-Y-S-E, and use the code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off the future of performance. That's ARYSE.com with promo code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off.
So what advice would you have for a coach who wants to be able to delegate more, who wants to take some of those things off their plate, but isn't quite sure how to do that, both with their coaching staff and with their players? And maybe you could tackle each of those separately, or you can weave them together, however you want to answer that question.
Well, again, I think we get to the point where it doesn't matter who gets the credit or where the good ideas come from. Let's just get a good idea out there and put it out to the group and ask them how they feel about it. So, for example, when you get a little bit older and a little wiser at the end of games and the 4-minute timeout happens and you know where the ball is going to go at the end of a shot clock, and you grab your senior or a veteran point guard and you say, okay, where do you want the ball? We're going to, we all do the same thing. We all run a big guy out and then tell him to set the high ball screen and space the floor. Otherwise, or you tell the big guy to run out there and then slip the screen so that your best player is not double teamed, but maybe his guy's got to run, the screener's man's got to run back to get him. And now you've got some space to go into the gaps and make plays. But you're saying to a guy like your veteran guys, where do you want the ball? Who do you want to set that screen? What do you want them to do? You want them to hold that screen? Do you want them to block and pop? Do you want them to dive to the rim? Do you want them to screen away for another jump shooter? Because in reality, it doesn't matter what you do. It matters how you do it and the decisions that you all make. And then, you're sitting in a film room again, with either your whole team or with your best players, and you're saying, all right, let's analyze this film right here. What do you see? And why do you think you're thinking that way? And you teach me. Role reverse every once in a while and say, what would you do in this situation? And why would you have that mindset about it? And show me what you know at this point. And again, it's just giving that confidence. And it's as much that as anything else, the confidence to the kids who are actually out on the floor. Or let me make this example as well, where, one of your assistant coaches says to you before practice, that pin down on the weak side, can we do it as a wide pin down as opposed to a tight pin down? And you say, of course. And as a matter of fact, we'll make that change today. And at the 15-minute mark, right before we end practice, I want you to put it in. I want you to give the lesson today. And then what happens is he does a good job at it. And then the kids on the team get more confidence in that assistant coach. He shows it to the team. It becomes successful. And now everybody's seen as having a role within the team. And also there's a success there and we can all share it.
Yeah, I think that's critical to be able to give those coaches an opportunity. I know I spent 14 years as an assistant varsity coach at the high school level. And one of the things that I always appreciated about my head coach, who I worked with for 12 of those 14 years, was the opportunity to do exactly what you just said, which is, hey, I have an idea. And he's like, great. I want you to put that in. I want you to share it. And to your point, I think that always built the credibility that I had with our team because they knew that it wasn't just me standing over on the sidelines parroting what the head coach was saying. It was an opportunity for me to really get in there and teach or show, demonstrate. And then the players felt a lot better about me as a coach and my knowledge and whatever. Because sometimes if you just see an assistant standing on the sideline, I think that it's easy for kids to say, ah, that guy's just an assistant coach because I don't ever see him really doing anything or teaching anything. He's just kind of parroting what the head coach is doing. So I think giving assistant coaches is a great point. Giving them that opportunity is tremendously, tremendously valuable. When you think back to earlier in your career, what were or who were some of your early mentors in coaching? And what were some of the lessons that you remember them sharing with you as a young coach?
Yeah, I don't know that I had a lot of guys sit down and say, this is what we need to do. This is what you need to do to have a successful career. I think it's as much just following their leads. So I'll give you an example of one of my earlier jobs was coaching at American University, and the head coach was Gary Williams. And I never saw anybody be so ready to go out and practice every single day to the point of you wouldn't go near him an hour before practice started because he was thinking. He was writing things down. He was gathering his thoughts. But he was more ready than the coaches were, the other coaches, and more ready than the players were every single day. And so, and my guess is even sitting on a beach in July and wherever he went, in Maryland or Delaware or whatever, as he's sitting on the beach, he's thinking, we're down three. We have the ball underneath our basket. There's 3 seconds left. How are we going to get a 3-point jump shot off here to tie it? As opposed to, me, I might be just reminiscing about a golf shot that I had 2 days before. He was never in that mindset. He was always in preparation mindset. Now, I don't necessarily advocate that for everybody. It takes a special guy or a special girl to do that. But, that's just how some people are wired. I think others need distractions. I think you need to get away. Sometimes you need to have that day off. But for my man, Coach Williams, that wasn't how he was wired. But we're all different in how we approach things. And again, I think if you come away from the day, and we all do this, we take stock every night at midnight or whenever we finally go to bed and try to sleep. How did I do today? Did I do a good job? Was I the best coach I could be today? Was I the best husband, father, mentor, teacher, whatever it happened to be? Did I do a good job or did I? And most of the time you say, yeah, I gave it a great effort. But there's other days that come in there and you I didn't talk to that kid the right way. I didn't give him enough confidence as I should have. And those days absolutely make you sleepless. The other days, if you've done a good job and you did your very best, and most of those days are like that. But you have those selected days where you just could have done a better job. But that, you take stock of that. And I learned that over the years from the people that I coached with, whether it was Gary or it was Speedy Morris or The guy who gave me my break in college coaching, Lefty Irvin, taught me some things. And a guy named Tom Schneider at Penn taught me some things. You know, and when you're young, you think you got to be out there 2.5-3 hours a day. And then now these days, you know, less sometimes is more. And you got to think of those things. You got to really delve into it and get some good advice from other people that know probably more than you do.
So what was your system of learning over the course of your career in terms of when you would pick up something that you wanted to incorporate into what your team was doing? Maybe it was an X's and O thing. Maybe it was a situation of a coach told you, hey, you should consider cutting down on practice to keep your players' legs fresh. Or maybe it was just a way of taking notes, or you read a book. How did you go about incorporating the things that you were learning into your daily practices? Were you journaling? Were you keeping a 3-ring binder as things moved on? Were you keeping a computer file? Just how did you go about learning throughout your career?
Yeah, I don't know that my style was the journal entry type thing, or the 3-ring binder, or the computer program, or whatever. I just think you store some notes in the back of your mind, and you say to yourself, you know, it's okay if 2 days before the game we're going to play, we only are out there for an hour and 25 minutes, as opposed to, you know, because it's 2 days before, it's not the day before, you know, you're saying I can get this next play in, and I can almost over prepare. And so, and again, the older you get, you have a system, you have a plan, and you get in what you think you need to give to these kids. And, you know, and you've probably done this as well, you know. The film is such a phenomenal teacher to these kids, but at some point they get tired of it. And, you know, the rule may be just make it a 15-minute exercise. And you could do it 15 minutes before practice. You could do 15 minutes after practice. But any more than that, you start to lose them a little bit. And they'll let you know. You can see them. and that's one of the things I think you have to be as a coach. You got to be observant to it. You read body language every single day. You can see what they're taking in, and you can see that maybe you need to step off of that. Get off of that drill that's not having great success in a particular day, and go to the next one, or maybe come back to it later on. So all those little tricks of the trade you learn, but you know, I'm thinking you learn as much by spending the time at it as you do reading books or taking down notes or absolutely studying films of other coaches and how they do things. You still, in the end, have to be yourself. And one other thing, you know, so when I first got into coaching, I said, if I ever get to be a head coach, I'm going to just sit on the bench like Coach K does and put two fingers up and call the play, and it's usually going to be successful. Well, you know, when I first started coaching, I couldn't sit down. And I was, so that's just the way I was. I don't think you plan any of that. You know, life just deals that to you, and you have to make the necessary changes and adjustments.
Yeah, I think being yourself is hugely critical. And I think we've all been around either someone, or in a lot of cases ourselves, where you have this vision of what you think a coach should be. And oftentimes, especially for young coaches, you just tend to mimic the coaches that you played for if you yourself were a player. And we all know that when you're not yourself, that doesn't work. You have to coach to your personality and be who you are. Players can sniff that out when you're a fake. They sniff that out really, really quickly.
Hey, coaches, parents, and group leaders. I want to introduce you to our newest sponsor, SnapRaise. SnapRaise is the nation's largest digital donation platform built to help teams, youth groups, and clubs raise money quickly and efficiently without selling products. SnapRaise builds your group a customizable campaign website, and students use their mobile devices to connect and engage with their biggest fans. My son's high school team used SnapRaise this season, and our team raised all the money they needed to fund their season, and then some. Getting SnapRaise started is quick and free. Just visit SnapRaise.com, and you'll get connected to a local SnapRaise expert in no time.
When you think about the totality of your career, and you look back from when you started to where you are today, you have to obviously evolve and adapt with the times. What is the biggest positive change in the game of college basketball since you first started? And maybe you can't narrow it down to just one thing, but what do you think is the biggest improvement in the game, something that you really enjoyed having been brought into the game of college basketball since you first started?
Well, I'm not sure exactly how to answer that, Mike, other than, again, the game changes a little bit every year. Then you occasionally have a drastic change where, you know, I went from coaching in 1986 with no three-point line to 1987 with a three-point line. And then the game changed again a few years later, and it got lengthened, and then it got lengthened again. And you have to adjust to those kind of things. And you'll also see some teams early in my career that would zone you. And, you know, you were confused a little bit by the zone. It's like, when you see a zone, oftentimes you see man, you attack, you see zone, you probe. And changing of defenses is something that has changed dramatically, I think, over the years. And, you know, trapping the first pass or doubling the ball screens or, things of that nature, or throwing a zone in every third possession or whatever, and or coming out of a timeout, changing things. So there's a lot of technology now that allows you to make these changes and to study them. And now you've got three or four assistant coaches that need other jobs to really feel like they are helping. And, you know, when I say other jobs, I mean, the analytics is totally taken over now. And so we always used it, but we just didn't use it at quite the way we are doing it now. So there's changes every year. Most of us are not creating any of that change. We're just observing that change. And then we have to take advantage of that change. So maybe an example I might say to you, and again, goes back to giving ownership to the younger guys, but also gives them the thought of always trying to do more. And so one of the years, most of the time we would grade our kids for the game. The assistant coaches or graduate assistants may watch the film and grade your team. Well, one year we lost a local game, and I got ticked off, and I said, do me a favor to the graduate assistant. I said, grade the other team, just so that if they played really well, then I might not feel quite as bad as our poor performance is making me feel today. And so one day later, they came back with this great report, showed me every little thing about it, about the grades of the other team. And I said, this is fantastic. Now, let me ask you something. Why did I have to tell you to do this? And they looked at me like, what are you, crazy? I said, well, these are the things that are going to separate you and make you better at your job. Be creative and think of these kind of things yourself and grade the other team. Maybe, you know, you watch the Golden State Warriors play or whatever, and you show me five different sets of Steph Curry getting a shot coming off a double stagger screen away. And now it doesn't mean that every shot's going to go in, just like Steph Curry shoots them. But, you know, maybe it's something you can show to our guys. And so it's those kinds of things. And again, always probing, always looking for things that are going to make your team better, but trying to give as much ownership that's out there. And the sooner you can give ownership as a coach, the better off you're going to be.
Do you think being a self-starter is one of the key characteristics that you would say you look for in an assistant coach? In other words, somebody who's looking for those opportunities like you just described and isn't always waiting around for you to give direction about what needs to be done. They're kind of looking for opportunities of where they can fill in and make the program better.
Absolutely. No question about it. You know, like developing these relationships with high school coaches, AAU coaches, those kind of things, and constantly being on the phone and never being bothersome, but always, having the give and take and building those relationships. And, yeah, those things are important. And doing the same thing on the X and O front or on the analytic front or on the film front. You know, you may say to your head coach, you know, I have a breakdown of what we're doing versus zone. on the right side of the floor. It seems like we're just constantly attacking that right side, and we're not using the gray area enough. You know, we don't dive the guy enough, and maybe we're putting our 6'9" center in the middle when maybe we should put one of our guards in there because they're better passers and better decision makers. You know, so it's those kinds of things that I think always being that creative guy makes that head coach say, man, this kid's got something special here. And the next, and the reality is, you know, somebody's going to call you about one of these guys every once in a while, and you're going to say, yeah, he's tremendous. I don't want to lose him, but if you can get him, that'd be great.
How important is it in your mind for, and I'm thinking again of a young assistant coach who's just starting out in their career, how important is it for them to go to their head coach and solicit feedback and ask the coach, hey, how am I doing? What can I do better? What am I struggling with? What are my strengths? Because I think a lot of times coaches maybe are hesitant to go to their head coach to seek that kind of advice. Is that something that you look for that you would want your assistant to do, or something that maybe you did as an assistant going to your head coach and say, hey, what am I doing well? Or what can I do better? How can I improve myself?
Yeah, I think it's very important. Although I don't know that you, as a young assistant coach, you may not always, I think you can have that conversation with your head coach occasionally, but what you'll probably wind up doing is having much more of a conversation and maybe grabbing a quick meal with the senior assistant coach out there who is even more willing probably than the head coach to give that kind of advice, give that kind of information in conversation as much as possible. And so there's always somebody out there you can learn from. And, I think it's a good idea to go to the head coach, but I think it's an even better idea to counsel with the senior associates that you have in a coaching situation. Now, again, at the college level, you've got a number of guys on the staff. At the high school level, it may be you and the head coach and that is it. So, in that case, you may say to yourself, you know, next summer, I'm going to work camp every week. I'm going to work in a city like Philadelphia. I'm going to work Villanova's camp and St. Joe's camp and Temple's camp and Penn's camp and Drexel's camp and LaSalle's camp. And now you get six different ideas about how people run things. And you're asking questions and you're seeing other coaches like you and maybe a senior a guy who's at the high school level as a head coach rather than an assistant coach somewhere. So you pick everybody's brain that you can, and I think those are important lessons to be learned.
Yeah, I think that's so important, being able to learn from a variety of different coaches and exposing yourself to different programs and different philosophies. I think back to myself when I was a player, I really didn't have any idea that I wanted to coach. And when I got done playing, kind of looked around and I'm like, wait, basketball is going to be done here. I got to figure out a way to keep basketball in my life. And when I got my first coaching job as a JV basketball coach at the high school level, the only thing I knew was what my high school coach had done and what my college coach had done, because I didn't really think of myself as a coach or going into the coaching profession. And so when I look back on my early years as a coach, I basically did what the coaches that I played for had done. And I think your advice of, hey, if you really want to learn, you got to get out and see as many different coaches as you possibly can to not only learn what they do that you like, but I think in a lot of cases, you can also go and you can learn from maybe ways that they do things that maybe don't fit with your personality, your philosophy, or the way that you do things. And so I think for young assistants, that's really, really a critical piece. Have you seen that over the course of your career where going out and getting an opportunity to, whether it's visiting other college practices or going in the summertime and meeting with other coaching staffs, were those some of the things that you or some of your assistants did over the course of your time as a head coach?
Well, no question about it. I think that's critical in the learning process. And especially if you're a high school coach, for example, typically your practices are going to start in earnest far behind when the college coaches start. So that's what I've found, is that most people who are older than you are going to say yes to every question you have about coming to practice and watching what it is you do. And you sit there and you watch and you see how people, what they teach, but you also see how they teach. And so it's really neat to watch that kind of interplay. But the reality is we're all coaches. We're all trying to help each other do a better job. And I've even found the pro guys in Philadelphia especially, and I'm sure they're the same way in every other city, but they're so welcoming to trying to help and to have you come and sit in on a practice. And it's been awesome over the years. And again, in a town like Philly, we've got great high school coaches. We've got great non-Division I college coaches who do a great job of teaching, and oftentimes all by themselves and don't have a lot of help with it. So there's plenty of opportunity to go and visit other programs and see how people do their work.
Do you know where to hit the backboard for the highest percentage shots? Do you know when using the backboard is better than taking a direct shot? Be certain that you are taking the highest percentage shots by training with the Shoticle. The Shoticle mounts on your backboard to give you the location of the highest percentage shots. Train with the Shoticle and you will score more. Basketball is a data-driven game, so don't ignore the data and the facts. We worry about the data so you can focus on shooting. Visit Shoticle.com now and start scoring more.
Do you feel like that's always been the case in the coaching profession, where people have always been willing to share? Or do you feel like that is a more recent phenomenon in terms of, because everything is so open and because film exchange is so much easier and because everything is out there on social media, and it's really hard, even if you wanted to keep something a secret, it's almost impossible today. So do you feel like the coaching profession is more open than it used to be? Or do you feel like it was always this open?
No, I think you're making a good point. I think it's more open now. I just think people weren't as generous with their time as they now are. Because I think you can, in years past, you thought you had to own everything yourself. And now, there are no secrets anymore with film. You're cheating off of every game that you watch every single night, you know, and you can go back and YouTube things, or you can go and whatever, the Huddle or any of the things that are available. You're copying plays from everybody here, you know, out of bounds, underneath, got to go in length of the court, in 4 seconds, you know, things like that. You're copying all those things all the time. And the reality is it's not what you run, it's how you run it. And I think we all have gotten to that point of what we demand, we probably get. And the kids are willing to, they're willing participants, they're willing learners, they're willing passers, to want to make the best play that they can. And, you know, they don't have to make that shot. They can make the pass that leads to the pass, you know, the hockey assist kind of thing. So I think kids are willing. I think they really want to learn. And again, it's, you get the occasional guy who's a little tough to deal with. Yeah, you do, but that's the challenge. And, you know, again, it's an unbelievable profession. It's a great profession. It's not an easy profession, but it's a great profession.
There's no question. There's definitely challenges and there's joys in being a coach. And I think you just hit on a couple of them. I want to wrap up and be respectful of your time, Coach, by asking you about your relationship, your experience. You've spent a big part of your career as part of the Big Five, Philadelphia, the Palestra. Just share with us how important those things are in your life when you look back upon your time as a head college basketball coach. What is the Big Five, Philadelphia, the Palestra? What does that mean to you? Can you put that into words, how just important and honored you are to be a part of that tradition of college basketball?
Well, I can try to put it into words. You know, when I was a kid in the elementary school, you would go to the Palestra and watch doubleheaders. And actually, the first games that I saw at the Palestra was a tripleheader. It was an NCAA tripleheader. One of my buddy's dads took us all down there, and we just watched 3 straight games of great teams. And it was an awesome experience. But the place has an aura to it that is sort of electric, and it's you're in awe when you go down there. and you see these older guys that are playing and how hard they're working at it and how much fun they seem to be having. You know, and when you're young, you think every game is sold out and the place is as loud as it possibly can be. And then 50 years later, you look at the attendance figures and it was maybe half full, but it was full. And then you get a chance to, I was lucky enough to play there in college. And then I got a chance to be a coach there, at LaSalle. And then I finally got my first head coaching job at Penn. And I actually had the key to the front door of the Palestra, which was about as cool as it gets. I can remember a number of times, after practice was over and everybody else was out of the gym, I get out of the shower and I get dressed and start walking across the gym, and there would be this single light bulb that was still on, and I'd stop at half court and pinch myself and say, you actually have this job, and you better respect it. And I really didn't have to talk myself into respecting it. I always did, always respected the coaching profession and those people that knew more than me, which everybody basically fell into that category. And it was just fun to be a coach, and it was fun to still be competitive. And then if it's one thing you miss when it's all said and done, is you miss the juice. You miss the juice of the competition, and there's nothing that can replace that. So as much as I love being a coach, I probably love being a player even more. And I would always ask my players that to have that same respect for the opportunity that you're blessed with. The last thing I would say to you guys would be, one of the things that happens when you get to be a head coach, you, at the end of every practice, you typically get to center court and you stand around in a circle and you make your observations for the day. Hey, Bob, you had a great day today. You know, you were doing great work. And Joe, I know you had a tough day today, but tomorrow we're going to get them. And I think getting your senior leaders to have that kind of mentality and to know that every day is not going to be perfect. Every practice isn't going to go exactly how you'd like it to go, but there's always tomorrow, and let's get them tomorrow, because we're in an unbelievable opportunity here. And so many people would change places with us in a heartbeat. So respect the game, respect, the people that are coaching you, but above all, respect those kids that you are teammates with, and be the best teammate you can be, and constantly be observing when one of your buddies is having a difficult day. Take care of them.
Coach, we are so thankful that you took the time out of your schedule to jump on with us and share your wisdom. We're humbled that you would join us on the Hoopheads podcast, and we cannot thank you enough for sharing with our audience of coaches. And to everyone out there, we appreciate you listening, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.